Morning Show for Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Chris Bessler, your host today. I'm here in the studio today with my co-host, Susie.
And I'm Susie Perez, your co-host. It's nice to have you back, Chris.
Yes, I've been gone for out of the studio at least for a couple of weeks. We have a great morning show for you today. We're going to be talking with Kirk Miller. He's a local photographer who has done an incredible series of photographs of sunsets daily for over 4 years. Kirk's with us right now. Say hi, Kirk.
Good morning.
We're also later in the show at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Mel Dick and Alana Westfall. They're with the Sandpoint Rotary Club, and they're going to be talking about the Chafe 150 bike ride that's going to be coming up in June. But before we get into all that, let's check in on the weather.
On this beautiful St. Patrick's Day, it's 80% chance of rain today with a high of 45. This is the National Weather Service that's telling us this information. Currently, it's 37 degrees. Tonight, we can expect a low of 34 with another 80% chance of precipitation. Tomorrow, chance of showers, 30% with a high of 49. I want to get over to Thursday where the sun comes back. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low 32. And Thursday, partly sunny, high 55. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, sounds like pretty good spring weather.
I know, it smells so good out when it's raining, and it is definitely spring weather.
Yeah, and I think we're less than a week out now from the actual spring equinox. Also happening outside, the sunrise today, actually, Kirk probably knows the time of the sunrise better than I do. I have it at 6:55, but I think it's actually occurring later than that, isn't it?
It's 6:55, but it doesn't get over the mountains here until about 7:15 right now.
Right now, okay. Sunset tonight will be at 6:54 p.m. We have a new moon coming on Friday. That's so the moon right now is waning for a few more days, and then we'll begin waxing after Friday, start seeing more of the moon. Lake level today is 2051.57 feet. It's been steady for the last week, but they're projecting that it's going to rise up about a foot in the next week. I think mainly out of the expectation will be getting more snowmelt coming. At Schweitzer, it's 30 degrees at the top right now, 34 degrees at the village. The snowpack is thin. They only have 7 runs open. But they did get about 8 inches of new snow up at the top during the rains that we had over the weekend.
I was wondering if it was snowing up there.
Yeah, at the very top. In the village, it was unfortunately raining. But they're still open. And there's, as I said, 7 runs open. And what's been going on around town, Susie?
Well, you know, besides spring happening, I'm not sure, but we'll get to the community calendar a little bit later, unless you want to say something now. Let's see. I know that there's something called the second annual Penguin Plunge on Saturday, March 21st, which is what, the first day of spring?
I believe so, yes.
I wonder what the temperature of the water will be. This is to support the Special Olympics, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the hour.
As usual, there's a lot going on in town. In the past week, there have been some notable news events. A week ago today, the voters approved the Lake Pend Oreille School District supplemental levy, and it passed by a large margin, 3,497 to 1,515 opposed. That was 70% in favor of the school levy.
Do we know what the turnout was for the vote?
The turnout was actually a little higher than the previous override levy 2 years ago, but still low. I think it was in the 30% range. It's hard to get people out to vote.
Well, I know that the effort was enormous trying to get that to happen.
Yes, it was. Yeah, and the school district folks spoke at a ton of events around town. Mm-hmm. Also, in the past week, police are still on the lookout for a suspected bank robber in our town. Yes, actually, it occurred on March 6th. A male suspect entered the Mountain West Bank in Pend Oreille, told the manager he had a gun and demanded cash.
And they got a really good, pretty good picture of him. I don't think he's from around here. I mean, you know, someone would recognize him by now.
You would think so. And that picture was placed up on, in the media. It was on a lot of social medias, too. It's a young man in his 20s, about 5'8" tall. He's got a very thin build. and he was wearing an olive one-piece jumpsuit and a desert camo floppy hat. If anybody has any information about this, the Ponte Verde Police Department would love to hear from you at 265-4251. And that's a couple of the things that went on around town this week.
Well, let's welcome our guest, Kirk Miller. And again, welcome, Kirk.
Thank you.
And you're known as the Sunrise Photographer. Anyone who is your friend on Facebook, which you probably have thousands of friends, because every morning I go to my Facebook page and look to see what photo you took. And so you're out there really early in the morning looking for
something.
Depends
on the time of the year, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm out at least an hour before sunrise, and I normally stay past the sunrise. So.
And what are you looking for?
Personally, I'm looking for the colors before, the pre-sunrise colors. There's two phases. There's the blue hour and the golden hour. And when the sun comes up, that's the golden hour, and you're going to pick golds and oranges up. But the pre-sunrise, when the sun is still low and it's coming up the back of the mountains, we get some beautiful pinks. It starts with the pinks, and that's called the blue hour. And on a good morning, you'll get 45 minutes of color. Some mornings we only get a minute. You never know what's going to happen.
Do you color every morning? Are there some mornings that are just flat gray?
No, we don't. Yeah. We've been in I've had a week of blue here.
right. Yeah, just kind of a gray thing going on with all the rain that we had.
Yeah, and I can't bring much out of gray. I can bring blue out of it. That's about all I can pull out of it.
Yeah. So I've seen a ton of your photos as being one of your followers. But it seems like you shoot from around the city beach frequently, but other locations as well.
It depends on the time of year. The sun comes up over the, it comes up in the south during the winter. So I'm out in Sunnyside or Hope. More Sunnyside because it's pretty far out in the lake, and I can get the lake between me and the sun. Ponder Point. But you can't see the sunrise at City Beach for quite a while. After that, 45 minutes after sunrise. Right now, the sun is coming up the ridge. Actually, the earth is rotating, but the sun's kind of staying stable. but it looks like it's coming up the ridge, further up the ridge every day. So I'm moving back to this side of the lake, the Sandpoint side of the lake now. And I'm very rarely out there.
So this week, in the past few days, actually, I've been... I noticed that you were shooting from a vantage point that had a bunch of trees kind of in the foreground. Where were you at for that shot?
That would have been, that was actually at the head of the Bay Trail.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah.
It was right from the parking lot.
Right. Yeah. So yesterday, I didn't catch this morning, so I should have looked at it. But yesterday it was kind of a interesting cloud formation going on with
the only thing we had going on there was some definition of the clouds, and that was looking at Seattle from Memorial Field.
Oh, really?
Or looking at Spokane.
Okay. I see. You're looking the other direction, actually.
Yeah. The sun, the colors aren't always with the sun.
But then on Friday you had a very colorful shot. And it looked like almost from the same location because there were a bunch of there's some trees, just branches and such in front.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only go to public places. I only go where you can go. I don't go to, very rarely will I go to a private property. If I'm asked to go to a private property, I will. Someone asked me to do some stuff from like the Seasons, for example, with the dock in the front. Technically, it's private. So normally I wouldn't go there, and I didn't go until one of the owners there wanted a photo with the docks in front.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So it was a commission piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're here in the studios of KRFY 88.5 for the morning show, and our guest is Kirk Miller, and a local photographer, quite well known. And your main focus, Kirk, is to take pictures of the morning sunrise. Is that pretty much what you do? Or is there a more variety? And the second question is, how did all this start, these morning pictures?
This is what I do every day. It's been, I figured it out, 1,681 days that I've been on the lake.
Which is, I think that's like 4.5 years or something.
4.5 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Longer than I was in college. and I haven't missed a day. But no, I do real estate shoots. I do all the standard stuff, if necessary. But what I prefer is nature. I've donated photos to all the conservative groups in the area. I also take pictures of pollution and get it to, like, the Pondere, the waterkeepers.
So, Kirk, where did the idea for a sunrise photo
I got laid off from a job that I thought I was going to end my career with, and I took a walk and happened to grab the camera the next morning.
Okay.
And I've been out every morning since.
And then, so the morning after the first morning, you thought, yeah, I'll do it again?
Yeah, I was kind of devastated, and the walk was good, and I said, well, I'll do this until I find another job, and all the offers I were getting were out of Sandpoint, and I didn't want to leave. So
it sounds
I had
like,
to find something to do.
It sounds like this became an anchor originally to kind of
anchor
you.
Oh, I think it was, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was just something to keep me sane.
And then it just became a thing. And it's not only just to take the pictures and post them on Facebook. Did a business of sorts develop from it?
It kind of developed, yeah. And so I have a website, and we sell some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what's your web address if people want to look you up?
It's on Kirk Miller Fine Art America.
Okay, kirkmillerfineartamerica.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that would get them there. Okay. So I know that you also, you can kind of judge the reaction to photographs, the photographs you take by, how many followers do you have on Facebook? Or friends?
Actually, I'm getting rid of some. But because I can't stand Facebook anymore. So I'm down to about 3,000, I think.
Okay. But you can judge the reaction to photographs because people can like them and share them and comment on them.
Yeah. So when I first started and people started liking them, I would count how many likes and how many shares and how many comments. And I had a point system. And I don't do that anymore. It hurts too much. Because they're all like my children. I work hard every day, even if the weather's not good. But if the weather's colorful, everybody likes them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're real vivid, everybody likes them.
Yeah.
But if I step out of the box and try and do something creative, it just kind of goes, yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting to have that barometer, though, isn't it, of people's tastes?
Yeah. And when a couple of years ago, my wife would come in when I was going through them, my morning take, and a lot of times I'd end up posting two, one I chose and one she did. And she has better taste than I does for what you as a potential customer like. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more abstract and over the top.
So are there any couple photos that really got more reaction than all others?
Oh, probably the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, that's an amazing shot I got last summer. I can't remember the date on that, but
I think it was August 27th.
Yeah, and we had a colorful. A Northern Lights display, which I totally missed, unfortunately. But I was able to relive it a little bit because you had some really incredible shots of the Aurora Borealis. And why don't you tell us, you know, where you were at and what you were aiming at? How do you even know it was coming?
I go to a website every night and see if it's active or not. Every night of the year.
All right.
Which, you know, when it's February and it's 17 below and I'm out taking 30-second exposures at the end of the jetty where it's dark to get a water reflection. It's a little bit nuts. But so, you know, when it's real cold out, I'm reluctant, but I do look.
Yeah. So last August, that's where the shot was taken, was from the end of the jetty?
Yeah, there's a dark spot on the jetty. You can get in there and there's absolutely no light. And you get a really nice reflection off the lake.
And you were aiming towards, was it towards Pondere or?
Well, yeah, and toward Ponder Point. But that goes, the stitch goes all the way over to Schweitzer. It was an incredible one. They're 30-second exposures, so doing a stitch 30 seconds here and 30 seconds on the right, 30 seconds on the left is hard. It's also hard to stitch water. Put two photos together with water because the water doesn't look natural where it's joined. In fact, I was told I couldn't do it, so I do it.
Well, it's just seemed like a 30-second exposure would give you, like, things are moving during 30 seconds in the sky or in the water, right?
Yeah. So.
Before we started the interview this morning, we were talking, and you mentioned that you get up about midnight and sort of prepare yourself. I'm sure you're doing other things. A question I have is, so you spend a lot of time waiting for the right thing to happen. So, and you've been doing this about 4.5 years, it sounds like, and you've learned a lot, because I'm sure if you went back to pictures number 1 through 20,
they're terrible
compared to
they're absolutely
what's
terrible.
Happening now. So how did you evolve? You didn't even know.
What I do up at night. I take classes.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of free seminars on YouTube and whatnot. I want to do something different every day. I want to improve every day. That's for me. And some stuff, I'll go to some places and you, if you're looking at my work, you won't see that for 6 months. I know the shot's there, but the light's not right. Or I don't have the technique yet, and so I go learn it.
So you're learning, and through this process, you've also probably upgraded your equipment quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't shoot it automatic, by the way. But I have a lot of people going, well, can you help me take photos? And I say, yeah. Just like Dan Hall says, don't take it off auto.
That's the main piece of advice for somebody that isn't going to dig in and really learn how to the mechanics of both the camera and also the way light works.
Yeah, I started shooting with film, and it's actually pretty simple. Mm-hmm. You had 3 little parameters. Now, with digital, you've got 15 parameters you can torque.
Mm-hmm. So at what point did you take it off auto? I mean,
about a year or two into it.
Okay, so you started taking those baby steps into...
I started taking it off, but I wasn't showing them for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were getting better exposures or better shots.
Yeah, I knew what exposure I wanted. I knew how to get my depth of field and that I want.
You mentioned a minute ago people want you to teach them. So are you giving classes or anything like that?
I have.
You've had maybe students one-on-one more?
Yeah, and I have a lot of photographers across the nation that get a hold of me for help. And a couple helped me, Doe, who used to live here in Sandpoint, and another friend of mine from high school who was a professional photographer back in Massachusetts. He's passed on now. He was a tremendous help to me. Neither of them told me what to do. They both just challenged me to learn this. Do you know how you do this?
Uh-huh.
Hey, look at this.
Maybe you want to try this.
No, it wasn't even that. It wasn't even, you might try this next time. It was like, that's pretty good.
So most of it, it sounds like, is the eye. You're looking for something. You're looking for a certain amount of light.
Every photographer has a different eye.
Okay. You develop that.
Everyone has a different eye. I was raised with a bunch of artists. My dad hung out with a bunch of artists, and I took a lot of art in college and not photography. So I don't follow photographer's rules because you're just a little bit retentive. I just go what feels good to me.
Mm-hmm. But you've learned a lot of techniques, too.
Oh, technique, yeah. You have to have technique for the camera, yeah.
Just the camera, but the vision, the eye.
Yeah, every day is different. Every day's light is different. The clouds are different.
I wanted to remind our listeners, that this is the KRFY Morning Show with Susie and Chris, and we're speaking today with photographer Kirk Miller. Kirk Miller, and we, Kirk has done a rather phenomenal thing up to this point. He's been taking a photograph of the sunrise here in Sandpoint every day for 4.5 years. And now, Kirk, you mentioned that you do a lot of other types of photography as well. But certainly what you've become known for is the sunrise photography. And you were talking about your technique, but for the shutterbugs out there, what kind of equipment do you use?
I use an EOS D70 Canon, 70D.
Okay.
And I have several lenses. I primarily use a 18-120 zoom in the morning. So if I'm shooting birds, I use something different. I do a lot of bird shots. They're personal. I don't post a whole lot.
And the shots, are you always on a tripod?
No, I'm almost never on a tripod.
Okay.
I started on a monopod. I put a shot out last week that I was too lazy to get the tripod out. I ended up putting it on a parking pylon. But if you got to set the camera down, there's stuff all over.
Improvise.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a challenge to shoot off a tripod. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge to hold it for half a second without moving.
Okay. And can you do that? You have long handheld exposures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you hold your breath.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, away from the art of photography, you said that you get up around midnight, you're working on lessons online and things like that. So when do you sleep?
Early evening, primarily.
Okay.
And then, you know, midnight, I also have to take care of the KRFY Facebook page.
Yes,
please like KRFY on Facebook.
And we thank you for that. Yeah. It's very nice to be able to send it over to you, and you take care of it for me every week. So
that's been going on for 8 years. We need more likes.
Need more likes.
More likes.
It's just another way of putting KRFY out there before people, mm-hmm. so they discover us.
We had 7 new likes last week, which I thought was great. You know, people are somehow tuning in and finding out. So thank
you
to
us. We had 5 yesterday.
How did that happen?
I told them to like it.
Oh, okay.
I
was thinking,
them.
What happened here? Somebody did something.
It's the gorilla like method there.
Yes, and they're also KRFY.org.
Our website, which you can also listen to this podcast later today.
That's right.
Podcast of this interview.
And if you're listening to it, that means you can pass it on to your friends that this interview is available on KRFY.org and just click on the podcast page. Most morning show that we hold each Tuesday and Thursday are available there so people can come and listen to them later if they can't catch it at the airtime at 8 a.m.
Kurt. Would you consider this project, we'll call it your artistic project, it's from the heart, it sounds like, but it's also part of a business. How much of it is business to you? I know that people often say, how do I get a hold of a picture of this sunrise? And
I don't count on it to pay the rent.
Okay.
I hope it'll pay the expense of my gasoline. The IRS calls it a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm lucky there.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing for the IRS to call.
Yeah.
So in all these years you've been doing this, and you've not missed a day, there's had to have been times when you said, I don't think I'm going to get up this morning.
Well, probably the worst day was one afternoon. The doctor and my wife wanted me to stay in the hospital overnight.
And you escaped.
I said no. So she was determined. It was high summer. So I was leaving at 3:30 in the morning. And she was determined, but she thought I was leaving at 4. So I was out the door by the time she got up. The next day, I was still in bad shape. And honestly, maybe I should have been in the hospital being observed. I came out of it okay. But my best friend, when I walked out the door at 3:30, was standing at the end of the sidewalk. He says, I'm driving. My wife had called him.
Oh, yeah.
And he happens to, have a local restaurant. He owns a restaurant and they stay open till 2 sometimes. So he just came over after closing down the restaurant and waited for me on the sidewalk. Wouldn't let me leave.
Yeah.
A conspiracy to help
yeah.
you out that night.
But that was the worst time. That's about the only time. But I have so many people that email me and tell me that their daughter has this, or they're having trouble with this, and my photos help them every morning. That, yeah, when I don't want to go, I go.
So that's part of the motivation is...
Oh, it's definitely become part of the motivation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're an example to other people as well.
And the photography, that sunrise is current for that day. We can't always get out there, and if someone is ill...
It's real big for expats, Sandpoint people that have had to move on to make money or for whatever reason.
Now, that brings to mind the fact that if you've done this for 4.5 years, you haven't traveled at all in that time.
Nope. So, I had a couple day trips where I drove all night to get back.
Oh, my gosh. So it has to be a sunrise here.
Yes, it has been a sunrise here. There was one sunset. I had an interview over in Portland, and I took a sunrise, posted it, drove to Portland, had my appointment that afternoon. I got a hotel, cleaned up, had my appointment. They loved me and wanted me to meet someone else the next morning. I had planned to drive back that night. So I stayed for the appointment I missed that morning on the lake. This was in the first year. Drove back after the appointment and did a sunset on that morning I had missed. So there's been one for every day.
Yeah, yeah. That's really quite amazing.
It's called amazing dedication. And it's so inspiring what I hear and I see on Facebook as people say their comments down the line. And I'm sure that a lot of people, I know myself, I don't make comments, but I am inspired and by your eye and your observation, but your dedication too.
Well, I wish you'd say something once in a while. It helps me.
Okay. Well, it's good to know.
See, on bad days, it's really hard for me.
We're all sitting out there appreciating what you're doing, but not saying anything, and so this would help you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good to know.
If not getting many likes, go ahead and say something, please.
All right.
Feel free.
It's good stuff. And by the way, your pictures were in Sandpoint Magazine, the current issue that's still out right now, and there's some great pictures to be seen there. People can pick that up. Or go to your website. Again, it's Fine Art America.
KirkMiller.FineArtAmerica.com.
Okay. And also, they can find you on Facebook.
And they can find me on Facebook at Kirk Miller and Sandpoint.
Yeah.
And if you like that site, then you'll get a morning picture on your Facebook every morning.
Get it in your personal news feed, yes. Very cool. Well,
yeah, and I get all kinds of fun requests and... I accept everyone until you put an ad on my page. And then you die.
No one should ever do that.
Then you become unfriended. Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate your coming in and sharing with us what you do. And we've all been curious, and it's good to know your dedication and how you share and why you share your eye for beauty.
Thank you for having me.
And our sunrise.
Yeah, thank you, Kirk. And today, actually, is St. Patrick's Day. I don't even think we mentioned that at the top of the hour, but we have a song queued up. And then we're going to get into an interview with a couple more folks. We're going to be talking with Mel Dick and Alana Westfall with the Sandpoint Rotary Club, talking about the Chafe 150 bike ride. But first, let's have a musical interlude here. This is Van Morrison and the Chieftains with Star of the County Down.
That I met in the county down.
And that was Van Morrison and the County Down. Is that what that's called?
Star of the County Down.
Star of the County Down. Then, in anticipation of this St. Patrick's Day here on 88.5 KRFY.
And we have people wearing green here. I want to, for the record, I have a green coat that is right behind me. We have now in the studio with us Alana Westfall and Mel Dick with the Sandpoint Rotary Club, and you guys are putting on a big event here in June. It's the Chafe 150 bike ride. So let's dive in, and can you tell folks what the Chafe 150 is about?
Well, good morning, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day. The ride is going to be on Saturday, June 20th this year, and it's our 8th annual Chafe 150 ride, and you can ride 150, 80, or even 30 miles, all leaving, the 150 and the 30 are leaving from City Beach and coming back to City Beach, and the 80 starts in Troy and winds its way around and comes back to City Beach. We're raising money to benefit children on the autism spectrum, specifically in the Lake Pend Oreille School District, really making some difference in the programs there.
So in 8 years of doing the ride, how many people are involved in this thing? In putting it on, how many riders are you getting?
Well, we had last year we had about 360 some riders. There's well over 50 volunteers involved. There's six fully stocked and manned rest stations, and the rest stations are really put on by different community organizations here in the community. So the Lake Pend Oreille School District has a couple of them, Angels Over Sandpoint, one of the local churches, and then Rotary as well. And it's kind of neat. I think, Chris, maybe you've ridden in the ride and probably experienced this, but the rest stops really get competitive in terms of trying to have different themes, who can have the best food, things like that. I always joke that this is a 150-mile ride that you can gain weight on, which is pretty hard to do. But it is a big effort. We have tremendous support from the community. This year, as of today, we have 67 local businesses and individuals that are sponsoring the ride, either cash sponsorships or in-kind sponsorships that allow us not to have to cover certain costs with cash and things like that. So everything from nurses that Bonner County or Bonner General provides as support in addition to cash support, food, photography, you name it. And one of the reasons I think we have such a great support is Rotary is very well recognized, I think, in the community and for the good things that Rotary does around the world and locally. And so people have just really stepped up to the plate, quite frankly.
An all-community event. It sounds like everyone comes out and really either participates in the ride or supports the ride in some way.
Cheers on the riders, mm-hmm. volunteers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big effort. We spend almost 9 months planning this event.
And you have a whole bunch of events coming up that support the ride. When is the ride again?
It's Saturday, June 20th.
Okay. Want to be out there.
You, yeah. Susie, you should be riding this thing. Come on. Uh-huh.
Right. Come okay. on, ride the 30 with me.
I could.
You can do it. Sure.
Start with the 30, then you progress to the 80. Chris, you're doing the 150 this year, Chris?
Wow.
Really? Yeah, Mel, that would be a stretch. That would be a stretch.
But well, I'm going to start the 150.
But I've done, as you mentioned, I've done the
You've done the 80.
Yeah, several times now. So, and that was pretty good. Actually, one year I think I did 86 miles because I took a wrong turn.
We have signage.
Yeah, I've done that
before. Well, tell you what, the year I did it, it's kind of a funny thing. We were just leaving out of Troy, and I got up in front of the pack, and we came to a spot. There wasn't any flag or anything there, and I just got confused. You would think that I would. It's actually the second year I rode. You'd think I would. Oh yeah, turn left here instead of right. But no, I was thinking, I'm ahead of everybody else.
Did everyone follow you?
No, no, oh. Okay. No. They looked down and I said, look at that.
I have made that same mistake myself. So it's easy to do.
Well, I figured I probably should have gone when I got in at City Beach. I probably should have gone another 13 miles or so just to say I did a century.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Right. Oh,
well, you mentioned City Beach and, you know, the ride. For the 150-mile ride and the 30-mile ride, they start at City Beach and they end at City Beach. The 80-mile ride starts at City Beach with breakfast in the morning, and then you're bused over to Troy along with your bike, and you start over there. And that Troy is the convenient lunch break for the 150-mile riders. And basically all three rides end about the same time for a very large after-ride party, which is just a blast down at City Beach.
And that's at City Beach. I was thinking, you could have do you have live bands down there playing?
Two or three years ago, we had a live band play. And we had the after ride party 3 years ago in that new parking lot that's right along the creek there. But we got so many people that wanted to go back to City Beach, we moved it back to City Beach. So I don't know if we're going to have a live band this year or not, but we definitely will have music.
We definitely have music, and it's catered by Trinity at City Beach.
It's
the
a party.
Food is fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the beer's not bad party. Either. Actually.
The beer's not bad.
Great, right? And the wine is great. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And we encourage the whole community to come over for the after ride party, mm-hmm. cheer on the riders.
So tell us a bit about the cause and the need here with these children in the autism spectrum.
Well, what we're really proud of is the fact that over the last 2 years, we've raised over $60,000 that we've been able to pass on to the Lake Pend Oreille School District. Autism is a disease that affects many, many people. One in 68 children in the United States will now be diagnosed with autism. It's five times more prevalent in boys, so one in 42 boys. And it's a very broad, it's called a spectrum. Disease. So you can be on it all the way from Asperger's, which is very high functioning, very, very smart, to basically nonverbal. And they don't really know what causes it. There's a lot of potential causes for it. And there's no real cure because it's a neurological type of disease.
And more children seem to be getting autism or becoming autistic. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you look at the statistics back in 2010, I think were 1 in 88. Now it's 1 in 68. Some of that deals with probably different and better diagnosis than what has always been out there. But, you know, on a worldwide basis, you know, it's somewhere between 1 and 2% of the population is going to be involved with
it. And is our school district in that percentage, higher or lower?
Our school district would be in the general population percentage. Mm-hmm. There's a number of children that may be homeschooled that the school district may not be directly involved with. But I don't know the exact number because I'm not sure the school can give that out. But what we've been able to do or what the school's been able to do is Dr. Joy Jensen is involved with the special needs programs over there. And they've been able to help with some training for all of the schools in the district, as well as purchase certain, there's a lot of sensory type equipment and things all the way from something for the child to feel very comfortable and to hug and things like that to iPads that some of the nonverbal children on the spectrum can't communicate with, but they've been able to use iPads, and that's really the first communication these people have been able to have.
I have to commend the efforts that you've put forth, over $60,000 in the last 2 years, going to our school district direct services. Often people want to give. It's something that humans like to do, and it's important. But in this case, the money goes to direct services instead of through some organization or bureaucracy that directly help our own community
students. And the programs that Sean Woodward and Dr. Jensen have put together are just unbelievable in their scope. And they're creating individual education plans for these students and really giving them the individual attention that they need. And also, that takes away the need for funds in the other areas of the special education department, because this is being targeted, so the money can go to other children. So that's a great thing. And you know what? You don't have to ride to donate. You can go to chafe150.org. You can find a rider, like Chris. You could decide to find a local rider and donate in their name, or you can just make a contribution.
And that's how money is raised, so riders will go and get sponsors.
Yes.
And get pledges for their 150-mile ride. Or 30,
or 80,
right? And so that's how it happens. That's how it works.
Right.
Or directly to chafe150.org and just make a donation.
Yes, there's an easy button just to click on there to make a donation.
Okay.
With a credit card.
Yeah. The riders do pay for registration fees. So for the 80 and the 150-mile rides, it's $75, and it's $45 for the 30 ride. Then we also ask for a minimum donation of $50 towards the cause. So effectively, it's $125 or $95. But many riders, in fact, Chris has some of his coworkers who have ridden before and have raised a lot of money. In fact, one of Chris's coworkers, I think, is the cumulative leader in raising money for the cause. And Alana, you might talk about Billie Jean.
Okay.
She's been phenomenal. You might have talked about the prizes you can get.
Right. So what we've gathered are some really terrific fundraiser prizes. If you raise $4,000, you're going to win a $1,500 giant bicycle, which is great. And then you get the top fundraiser jersey, which is specially designed so that everybody knows that you're a top fundraiser. And then you get a 2016 registration for free. And if you raise $1,000, you get a bike trainer, so you can ride year-round, rain or snow, in your house. That's a $250 value. You get the top fundraiser jersey and also a 2016 registration. So if you don't have many friends or family and you raise $500, you still get the top fundraiser jersey and the registration for next year. And then, since we want everyone who puts forth that extra effort to be recognized, raise $250 and you'll get the top fundraiser jersey. So you can ride it on the ride. Everybody will know that you've gone those extra miles, even if you didn't get lost. You want the extra mile to raise money for CHAFE.
Mm-hmm. I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Alana Westfall and Mel Dick of the Sandpoint Rotary Club. We're talking about the CHAFE 150 bike ride, and this is the KRFY morning show with Chris and Susie. And we're talking about the fundraising aspect of the CHAFE ride. And Alana, you were just referring to the fact that riders are expected to, or at least you hope that they will gain pledges and bring in donations.
Right.
And I'd like to throw out there, as having been a rider for a few years, that it's actually amazingly easy to get pledges if you let people know that, hey, I'm doing this bike ride. And it's, you know, it's going to be a push for me, because usually it's challenging for the people that are doing the ride. Would you be willing to donate so many dollars or cents or dimes per mile? And actually, that's one way that riders can help contribute to the cause, aside from their entry fees.
And on the website, the riders can set up their personal fundraising page. They can put their picture up. They can put a picture of their bike up or their family. There are several fundraisers right now on the site who have family members who are on the autism spectrum, and they're specifically motivated to raise extra funds for that. So the site helps you out with the fundraising too. Or you can just download a little form that you can put at your office, in your office, or send around to your family.
So out of your, 300 plus riders that you'll expect this year, or more, hopefully, how many of those are doing the big, long 150 versus the 80-miler versus the 30-mile route?
Yeah, we expect about 400 plus riders this year. And if the registrations hold where they are going today, I would say probably at least 50% will be doing the 150 miles. The remainder would be on the 80. And the 30, which is new last year, had probably about 60 or 70 riders last year. That's the ride that we probably will really grow, because it's a very doable ride for families. It goes out into Selly Valley. It turns around at the Pack River store and then comes back into Sandpoint. We had a six-year-old do that ride last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think our oldest rider last year was, I believe, 76.
76, Beth Allen.
Yes, and we did have Jackson Barth, and I believe his father, David, and Jackson is on the autism spectrum. They did the 30-mile ride together on a tandem, I believe, last year. So
the rides themselves, the routes are really beautiful. Obviously, on the long rides, you get go down the Bull River Valley, which is a beautiful ride, and then you come back along the lake shore on Highway 200. But the short ride is really nice too.
Yeah, the short ride. I mean, if you've ever ridden out in Selly Valley and the view of the mountains all around you, it's absolutely incredible. A few years ago, the 150 ride was named one of the top scenic distance rides in the country. And then last year, it was named in the top eight for ultra district rides. And the scenic part of it, I've ridden all over the country, and if you've ever ridden down that Bull River Valley, it is spectacular. That's one of the best rides I think I've ever been on in my life.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question. 150 miles, and that's one day. You're supposed to or expected to be back at City Beach that day or that evening.
Yeah, the ride starts at City Beach at about 6:30 in the morning, 150 miles. Most years, people do finish, and they'll finish anywhere from 2 p.m. in the afternoon for the really fast riders up till 8 o'clock at night. We do sweep people off of the ride if it were to get dark, but seldom have we had to do that. 3 years ago, we did the ride a month later in July, and we learned a valuable lesson. It was too hot.
It was too hot.
And we swept a lot of people off the ride that year.
So it's really, you're monitoring the race route quite a bit.
Yeah. Throughout the ride, there is motorcycle support on the ride. There's mechanical support that can fix, they have the ability to fix anything there is on your bike. And then there are nurses that are on the ride. And there are SAG support vehicles, which can pick riders up, can move riders forward, things like that. So it's one of the best supported rides you're going to find in the country, quite frankly.
Do you find people coming from out of town to join in the, because it sounds like it's a great ride.
We've had people from Maine to Florida, Vancouver, Calgary, San Diego. We had somebody on the website who is from Italy this year already who is asking some questions, so hopefully they'll come over.
They'll be riding one of those fast Italian bikes.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes. You know, it's important to mention, too, it's not a race, but it is a timed event. So the 150 and the 80 are timed. So people like to keep track of that for themselves, and because it is such an amazing endurance ride.
It's getting well known out there, it sounds like. You have some events coming up to support your efforts and your work. You want to tell us about those?
Well, what we're doing, too, is with these Chafe Happy Hours, is we want people to be able to do some personal fundraising there, to let people know, their friends and family know that they're doing the ride, but also to connect with other riders locally, get to meet somebody that maybe you can train with or ask some questions about the route or if you're concerned, am I going to be able to do the 150 or what happens on the 80? So it's really good to make those connections. So the nice people at Idaho Poor Authority have given us their place to use on Wednesday, March 25th. We are going to be there from 5:30 to 7. So the Chafe team members will be there, and we're going to have live music. We'll have beer specials. We might have some 219 beer there, too. And we'll have registration and sign-up forms, everything that you need. And we're also going to do that on Wednesday, April 29th. And Wednesday, May 27th.
All at the Idaho Poor Authority?
All at the Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar.
Is John one of the riders? John Hagedon?
No.
Okay, he's just not supporting your
but
work.
But his wife is.
Oh.
And she has very nicely said that if she gets the $4,000 bike, or gets the bike, she's trying to raise $4,000, she's going to raffle it off there.
Oh, very
so
cool.
She's determined to get that $4,000
donation.
Bravo,
Vicky.
Great Vicky.
So you have three events coming up, March 25th, April 29th, you
April said? 29th, and Wednesday, May 27th.
All at the Idaho Poor Authority. You can go down there and register, find out specifics about the race, see if you can qualify or take part in it in some way.
You can qualify.
Yeah, everybody qualifies.
You can sign up.
We'll qualify right now over the air. Yeah.
30 miles is doable. I did ride a bike once, 75 miles, and I was done. That was it.
Sounds like the 80 would be the perfect challenge. You reach a little bit deeper now.
40 years ago, Chris. So we'll see.
Like yesterday. Plus, we're going to have raffles for drawings for jerseys and T-shirts and caps and bike swag.
It sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. It is fun. Yep.
So again, we've been speaking with Alana Westfall and Mel Dick with the Sandpoint Rotary Club, talking about the Chafe 150 bike ride that's coming up in June. Several events before that, including next Wednesday at Idaho Poor Authority. There's going to be an event that will raise funds, but also raise awareness. And Mel and Alana, thank you very much for coming in. What would you like to tell people out there about the Chafe, or inspire them to go out and do some riding?
It is a very doable ride. A few years ago, I rode with a rider who had never ridden 100 miles in her life, and we rode the 150 miles. I had just come off of several surgeries, so I didn't train at all. A couple years ago, we had a fellow who had never ridden more than 25 miles ever in his life on a mountain bike, and he rode the 150 miles. And he raised about $2,000 for us. So anybody can do this ride, especially the 30-mile ride. And Chris, you know about the 80. You've trained for that. So I just encourage everybody to come out, support our local schools, which is really, really important, and the children that are in the autism spectrum.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Mel and Alana with the Sandpoint Rotary Club and the Chafe 150.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And it still being St. Patrick's Day, we're going to take a musical break here with John Owen Lardinois, and it's the song is called Red-Haired Boy.
And that was John Ladernos, Red-Haired Boy. A little bit of instrumental Irish music for you this morning, Chris.
Yes, it is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. And I have a green sweater on because I'm going over to the Waldorf School in a little while to teach. And the kids love it. They really want you to wear green on St. Patrick's Day. And speaking of the Waldorf School, next week they will be our guests on the KRFY Morning Show. Katie Cox and Jimmy Black will be in to talk to us. And then our second interviewee will be Kathy Chambers coming in to talk about a young women's group. So that's next Tuesday. And this Thursday, you can join Jim and Jack, that's March 19th, for the Thursday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. Their guest will be the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. And her name is what, Chris?
That would be Dino.
That's Dino Wall. And so you can tune in and find out updates on the spring festival at Sandpoint activities.
So you finally asked me a quiz question I can answer, and I appreciate that.
And what is it?
Well, oh, that one that right there, one. Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Who is the executive director of the festival? I knew the answer. A couple of community events we have time to talk about. One thing happening tonight in concert with St. Patrick's Day is the Panda Theater is screening the film Run and Jump, which is actually was shot in Ireland and has a bit of an Irish motif to it. That's at the Panda Theater tonight at 7:30 p.m. It'll show again on the 20th and the 21st. That's Friday and Saturday. Other events going on around town? Susie, you want to let people know
music.
About?
We all know about the music. You can always go to Sandpoint Online and look at the community calendar there, or KRFY.org. We have the same calendar, our community calendar page. And there's so much music, I don't even know where to begin. But some other things that are happening. The Spring Crafts Fair at the Sandpoint Senior Center will be Friday and Saturday this week, starting at 9 a.m. and running from 4 p.m. That's on Saturday, and on Friday it's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the evening. Lots of crafters, and there's still available booths. If you're interested, if you're a crafter, you can call 263-6860. That's at the Sandpoint Senior Center. And this, what is this Macbeth's thing that's happening on the Friday and Saturday?
That would
Chris?
Be a Shakespeare play.
Okay, you got it.
And that's happening again Friday and Saturday at the Heartwood Center at 615 Oak Street. This is obviously one of the classics in all of literature, and you can witness Macbeth's sick nightmare unfold in intimate detail as he takes on his bloody quest to conquer the crown of Scotland. There's intense battle scenes, chilling special effects. It's by a group called the Unknown Locals, a local production group here in town. And who are the Unknown Locals? They must be unknown, right?
I think they're unknown, but they've been doing some pretty interesting work.
Yes.
Productions.
Yep. And you can see more about that on carefy.org's calendar or Sandpoint Online calendar. And that's this Friday and Saturday.
And it looks like we're at the end of our show. What are we going to hear to go out on this very jolly St. Patrick's Day, Chris?
We're going to hear one more from Van Morrison and the Chieftains, the Irish Heartbeat. And
we're thankful that you tuned in, and hope you have a wonderful day on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, have a good one. Bye now.
Oh, won't you stay?